Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 23rd day of July 2019. And I'm thrilled to have back on the program a returning guest named Nate Pickowitz. He is pastor of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire. He is the author of Reviving New England and Why We're Protestant. He's working on a new book that we'll have him mention in a bit. And today we are addressing small town ministry in the liberal mission field of New England. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Nate Pickowitz.
Hey, thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
Well, for our listeners who have missed you on your previous guest appearances on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I don't know if you would call it rightly an appearance on radio when no one can see you. I can never figure that out. But anyway, your last times as a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, those of our listeners who are unfamiliar with the Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, why don't you tell our listeners about that?
Sure. So Harvest Bible Church is very different than Harvest Bible Chapel. I always want to make that very clear, especially this year. We couldn't have picked a worse name for ourselves, I think, 7 years ago than we did, but that's just the way it is. But
that's also in your hometown there?
Yes, so we're in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire. So I grew up in this town. It's a small town. It's a fraction of what it used to be in its heyday, which maybe we'll talk about that later. It's a fascinating thing, but it's a small rural town, not much doing. And I grew up here going to church, traveling to go to church, and later on was called to ministry and decided to come back to my hometown and plant a Bible church right here. And so we planted this church in 2013. So we're in year 7 now, which has been real great, and ministry's going well. Family's growing, church is growing, just really praising God for his faithfulness.
And do you mind telling us why it's such a horrible thing that people may confuse you with Harvest Bible Chapel?
Well, so Harvest Bible Chapel, for those who don't know, was a ministry, I believe, that James McDonald either founded or took over or whatever it may be, but they've just had a lot of problems. There's tons of campuses all over the place, and you know, there have been just allegations of abuse and all kinds of other thing, misconduct, and it's just not gone well for them. My heart really goes out to all the pastors and churches that are under that umbrella who are struggling right now. So people always want to ask if we're associated with that, and we're not. We're our own. We're an EFCA church, evangelical free, but we're basically autonomous. We're a non-denominational church. So just a name that we picked 7 years ago. So, yeah.
And you already had that name when they moved into town and decided to call their church something nearly identical.
Yeah. So Harvest Bible Chapel goes way back for several years. So it was just one of those things. I'm actually kind of the one who suggested the name initially. There was a bunch of people we were talking. We had a core group of people who we were launching with, but I just liked the name, and it seemed to fit. You know, there's a verse in John that talks about the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. That really typifies New England, and it really typifies any region that's difficult. I mean, there's lots and lots of ministry regions that are very challenging, and so that reality is certainly true. So it just seemed like a name that was going to stick, and we went with it, so there you go.
No, no, what I meant was, did you have the name first before Harvest Bible Chapel moved into town?
So they're not in our town.
Oh, but, I guess you misunderstood me earlier. I said they're in the same hometown as you are, and you said yes.
Oh, no, 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 no. There's a... We have one blinking light in my town.
So.
Yeah, no, they're not. They're not here. They're not here. So, yeah, I don't honestly think that most people in this area even know what that. Unless they're familiar with James McDonald or any of the controversy going, I don't think most people really know. So, it hasn't been an issue for us here. No one's really given us a hard time. It's been fine. It's fine. So it's just mostly like when I, you know, talk to people outside of our area or people who know what's going on, it's a challenge for sure.
Okay, and now we've got to know about the Fellowship Conference New England in Portland, Maine, where you are speaking along with my dear friend Pastor Mac Tomlinson of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, and a number of other folks. Why don't you tell us about this conference coming up?
Yeah, so this is the third year that I've been a part of this conference. They started this several years ago in Portland, Maine. And for anybody who knows anything about Portland, Maine, it's a larger city for our area. I mean, it's not huge like a Boston or New York, but it's a good-sized city. And they really have struggled in the recent years to have a strong presence of the gospel. There are churches there. There are good churches there. But they're not large. It's not a far expansive ministry for the most part. So there's associated with a church plant that's there, some friends of ours, the Hebert family. So this conference is kind of attached to that ministry. And it just brings in speakers, pastors, just to come and minister the word. And it's grown every single year I've been a part of it. And we meet at a community church there. And it's just a really wonderful time. The people who are there are just very sincere and eager for the ministry of the word, very sweet people, good fellowship, good time with these people. So there's nothing really flashy about it, which is why I like it so much. It's really just a conference of biblical preaching and good fellowship and a whole bunch of books. And so that's really the essence of the Fellowship Conference.
And I know that the speakers include Pastor Anthony Mathenia, who's Paul Washer's pastor at Christ Church in Radford, Virginia. Pastor Lee Dodd, who I've had on this program, really enjoyed interviewing Lee, who is actually going to be my guest on the 31st of July, Wednesday the 31st of July. And as I said before, Pastor Mac Tomlinson of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, and you. So I know one of the things that is unique about Fellowship Conference New England is that there is never one central theme. They allow the pastors just to preach on anything that is burdening their hearts and minds to talk about. Have you yet selected what you are going to preach on?
Yeah, I think I have. I haven't heard back if this is going to conflict with anybody else's preaching calendar. You always hear the horror stories about getting, you know, to a preaching situation, and the person who's going before you is doing your exact same text. I've heard of that happening to guys, so I always get nervous. But this year, my goal is to preach from Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to be covering the exalted nature of Christ. So I'm just going to work from verses 15 to 20, which is what's called the hymn of the incarnation, and it's really just an opportunity to exalt Christ. I mean, it's really one of the most beautiful Christological passages in the New Testament. So that'll be my first session. And the second session I'm working on is out of John chapter 15, when Jesus commands them to abide in him. So I think sometimes we do one or the other. We want to say that we want to abide in Christ, but we don't really know who Christ is, and so therefore our attempts to abide and remain and obey him fall short because we don't understand who he is. But the inverse problem is that we can magnify Christ and we can see him clearly, but then we sort of can put him in a place where we don't identify and don't desire to be in him, as Paul says. And so my goal is to try to marry the two and really help the conference attenders to just sort of see it maybe just a little bit more clearly. It's a theme I've been wrestling with for a few years now, even in ministry, is to try to help believers to understand what it means to be in Christ. It changes everything. It's not just about believing and getting saved, so to speak. There's an abiding nature of the Christian faith that I really want to try to capture. So I'm excited about the two texts. I'm excited about that theme, if it works out. And I just really am looking forward to bringing that to faithful believers and just try to encourage them in the faith. So really excited about that.
Well, I plan on repeating this information later, but in case anybody has to leave listening to the program earlier than normal, conference will be held August 1st through the 3rd at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. And if you want more details, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. And once again, that is August 1st through the 3rd, and that's in the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. And those days of the week are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So
that's
right. A great way to have a elongated weekend at a Bible conference. Now tell us something about the new book you're working on.
So I kind of tricked you because I'm working on a couple things right now, and so I'm not really sure which thing to talk about, but I know you and I before the program were talking about one that I'm working on with Dustin Benge, who's a good friend of mine. We're writing a book on the American Puritans, and we've signed with Reformation Heritage Books. And we're working on that right now as we speak, and hopefully going to get that out by June of next year. That's the goal. Publishing is always tricky because there's all kinds of timelines, but the goal is to have it out by midsummer next year. So I've been working on Puritans for a while, especially American Puritans and New England preachers, and just something I'm really impassioned about. And so that's kind of a big thing I've got going on right now, and I'm also working on some reprints as well. I continue to do that. That doesn't ever stop. So there's all kinds of... I'm always working on some kind of a project in the moment. So, but that's kind of the most present thing on my mind right now.
Well, you've just reminded me I've got to call Dustin Benge again because we have been playing email tag. He is supposed to be my guest on Iron Trip and Zion Radio to discuss his doctoral dissertation, The Angelology of Jonathan Edwards. And so I hope to get him on very soon. He actually was an instructor for one of my pastor's mother, Mary, who is actually a listener in this audience for Iron Trip and Zion Radio. She lives in Cork, Ireland.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And she had as an instructor Dustin Benge, if I'm not mistaken. And I believe that's even when I first heard. Actually, I first heard about Dustin from you when I was helping him find. Helping him candidate for a church that was without a pastor at the time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really, you should hang up the phone and call him and have him on the phone.
Oh, I'm sure you're equally fine. And
no, he's a great friend. I really, we both have an appreciation for one another in terms of ministry, but even just as friends, he's just a very dear brother and does some really good work. But the ministry he's doing in Ireland is fantastic, and I've been slowly learning more about it. But it's I'm sure he'll tell you more when he comes on the show. But it really is. It's college level instruction for church members who are part of a church planting network, and it's a way for them to get just top tier instruction from some of the best teachers in the world that come right to Ireland. And so every year Dustin has gone over the last couple of years.
Munster Bible College.
What's that?
Munster Bible College.
Munster Bible College, that's right. He's flown out there and just done a great work. And between you, me, and the wall, and, of course, all your listeners, I'm hoping to get something like that even started up here. I'd love to see that happen in New England, but that's a different dream for a different day. But it's a really wonderful program, for sure.
Great. Well, let's get into our theme now. Our theme is small time. I meant to say small town ministry in the liberal mission field of New England. And one of the things, I may have even brought this up with you before, because we've discussed similar things. In fact, obviously, Reviving New England is sort of a your book, Reviving New England, has a lot to do with what we're going to discuss today, I'm assuming. But one of the things that has always amazed me is how New England went from being a central hub in the United States, or should I say America, because this began before we were these United States, central hub of Bible-believing, genuine, authentic, Puritan Christianity. This is where the Ivy League schools were born that were at one time very faithful to the Holy Scriptures, very faithful to historic Protestant doctrine and theology. And can you give me any clues as to why you think New England went from being this bastion of biblical orthodoxy to the apostate region of the nation that it is now? Of course, I mean, you could almost say any part of the nation is apostate, but few had the rich heritage of the Puritans and so on that New England had. So it's a farther leap, it seems.
Yeah, so it's interesting because I've been plagued with the question myself, because I've probably got about five or six theories about elements that have caused this to happen. I mean, I think at the largest sort of macro level, apostasy happens in New England the way that apostasy happens anywhere. I mean, why did things go bad in England, for example, after the Reformation? Why does anything, go south? And it's always, spiritual rebellion and hardness of heart and so on and so forth. And it always seems to be that the spiritual children and grandchildren of the faithful, it's always a harder climb for them. It's always a difficult struggle. I've heard even John MacArthur talk about seeing a difference in his own church from when he began to where he is now, where he's noticing that the children and grandchildren of the people who began the church or that hired him, it's a harder work for them to stay faithful. He wasn't saying it in a derogatory way, but just that he was noting that it's a difficult struggle, and it changes because you're trading on the faithfulness of someone else that came before you, and so you have to, you can't just rest on their laurels. You have to do the work yourself. You have to be faithful to God yourself. So we do see that in the history of certainly the Puritan movement. We see it in the history of the Baptist movement up here, where the next generations, it's always difficult. And I think that when you add prosperity into it, at one point in history, the Boston economy was one of the most thriving economies in the whole country, and it actually almost even in the world was a very strong economy. It still is. So when you have that level of prosperity, and when you just assume Christianity and you assume a cultural superiority, you can fall very fast and very far when you do that. So there's lots of reasons, I think, why this happened and why it has continued to happen. But one thing I keep on noticing as I read more and more history of New England is that it isn't just like it was good once and now it's bad. There have been repeated cycles. There's probably been, if I were to just take a wild guess, maybe 6 to 8 different cycles of apostasy that have happened, and we've had to pull ourselves back up and recommit ourselves over and over again. So anytime something good happens, that's the reason for the need for the Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening. And, those are coming out of periods of apostasy. I was talking to my friend Dustin Benge today again, and we were talking about Timothy Dwight, who was the president of Yale in 1795. And by Dwight's estimation, there were only about 20 students who were Christians on the entire campus at Yale in 1795. So even in the turn of the 19th century, it was a problem, and it's a problem again today. So we just keep on having to face the same demons over and over and over again. And so the ministry that I'm in now, the people who live here now, it's no different at all. We have to keep on facing that over and over and over again.
Well, there is another thing that's unique about your situation. It's right in our title of our discussion today, the topic that we're discussing, small town ministry. What can you think of that is different? I mean, I know that you were born and raised in the town that you're in. I don't know how much ministry you've done in big cities, but there are cities in the United States, such as New York City, huge city, that might be equally opposed to the scriptures, to Christians attempting to evangelize them. I'm talking about, obviously, the average person. What immediately pops into your mind as far as the difference between that same kind of atmosphere, but in a much smaller scale in a small town?
Yeah, so when I wrote Reviving New England a couple of years ago, one of the comments I kept on hearing was that, you know, what you're describing in New England sounds just like my hometown or my state, and they're talking about Missouri, or they're talking about, you know, Arizona or wherever they are, even in the Bible Belt. So, you know, the problem of spiritual darkness and spiritual depression and, you know, liberal philosophy and so on, that's not unique to New England. But I think the reason that New England is such a challenging place is that, number one, you don't have an assumed Christianity, an assumed acceptance of Christianity. Now, that can be a good thing and a bad thing. It's bad, obviously, because when you go to talk to anybody, there's no friendliness at all out of the gate, at least to be able to talk to you. Like, it's just assumed that we don't talk about that up here. So, whereas you go to other parts of the country, maybe, you know, even in the Bible Belt, maybe a person grew up going to church. They might not be saved, but at least they're sympathetic to Christianity, and so when you're talking to them about the gospel, they're at least familiar enough to be able to interact with you, and maybe there is a modicum of faith, or at least they fear the Lord on some level. That just doesn't exist up here. Most people just don't even think about it, don't talk about it, so it's just not assumed at all. And I mean, you have the governor of Massachusetts sending out letters telling Christian businesses that they're not welcome in the state. I mean, it's that kind of a... Oh, yeah, that happened a couple years ago. Chick-fil-A was officially banned from the state of Massachusetts. Not that, you know, they have the right to do that, but that was a big controversy. And so the reason was is because of Chick-fil-A's religious stances of some of the members of the organization. So when you have a political figure saying you're not welcome here to bring business because of your religious standing, that attitude is pervasive up here. I mean, there's just a general hardness against biblical Christianity. So that is a little bit different. And even where I am, though, not being in a big city, you just don't have the same kind of witness. Again, you go to the Bible Belt, you're going to have a lot of ministries that are, you know, possibly false or apostate churches or whatever it may be. But you're also going to have a large number per capita of Bible churches, at least within driving distance. You know, so at least if you don't have something in your own hometown, you might be able to find something at least within driving distance where you can be fed and have a spiritual community with believers. Up here, I mean, you have whole counties that don't have a Bible-believing church, let alone a gospel-preaching church. So people are having to drive an hour and a half, and sometimes they can't find anything, and they literally just stay home. And there are believers who are church homeless because they can't find a Bible church within driving distance from their house. So, Wow. Yeah. So there's, you know, and the churches that are here, you know, if you do have a gospel witness, you're going to have 40 or 50 people in that church, and you might only have those 40 people for 25 years. So it's just challenging. The resources are smaller, the witness is smaller, the arm's length and sort of the web of faithfulness is a lot smaller. And again, it's not that there aren't faithful churches up here. There have been. God always has a remnant, and I'm really thankful for them. But it's very difficult, and the spiritual loneliness is pervasive as well. And again, I'm not describing anything that doesn't exist anywhere else, but the level of it's expansive across six whole states. This is a regional territorial problem.
Yeah, you when you were talking about how abominably leftist your governor is, it just reminded me of a guest that I've had on this program from Massachusetts, a pastor. The first time he was on to discuss his problems at attempting adoption were done anonymously because the adoption hadn't gone through. But then when he had the successful adoption, he came back and revealed who he is, Pastor Mark Lukens of Providence Baptist Church in Norfolk, Massachusetts. And he, because of the fact that he is an evangelical Bible-believing pastor, he actually had a harder time adopting than a same-sex couple would have had. And it's just amazing. It's frightening when you think about an adoption agency. You would have thought that possibly, especially a couple of decades ago, that even a secular adoption agency would be like, oh, wow, isn't this great? We have a minister and his wife are going to try to adopt. That's just wonderful. What a safe place for a child to be. And now that is actually a huge strike against somebody in Massachusetts for adopting. Just an abomination, I think.
Yeah, so where I am in New Hampshire, the government structure is not quite as... we hear a lot more stories like that coming out of places like Massachusetts or Vermont. Again, just the cultural temperature is not at all sympathetic or warm toward Christianity. New Hampshire, for the most part, the state motto is live free or die, and most people abide by that. And that, so we haven't had too many problems on that level. But we have, I mean, when we planted our church, I mean, we had our own challenges with local government, and it was, you know, just you're just dealing with people who are not, they're not used to seeing you there, and they are maybe not as sympathetic for you being there. So it's just a different kind of a challenge. We don't have any kind of cultural points on our side at all. Not that we would need them, but it's just not something you can count on.
I know that many of my listeners who listen daily will remember this story because I've told it several times, but something you said about comparing what you might experience if you're comparing between the Bible Belt and where you are, even though you might be in an area in the Bible Belt that is equally dead, where you have a lot of people raised in the faith, they may be in their family tree, you know, ministers going back hundreds and hundreds of years, but they may be just completely lost, and they think they're Christians just because that's what they were born and raised as. But it reminded me of a Presbyterian pastor from Mississippi a number of years ago. I was having a conversation with him on the phone, and he asked me where I was from, and I told him I was from New York. That's where I lived at the time. That's where I was born and raised. And he said, well, you got it easy. In New York, all you got to do is get people saved. Down here in Mississippi, you got to get people lost first and then get them saved.
Yeah, right, right.
So yeah. So at least you don't have to get people lost first.
Yeah. No, I mean, the funny thing about it is, and not funny, haha, but just ironically, I'm really thankful for the ministry that we have here. My wife and I talk all the time about, you know, just different plans and ideas and what the Lord could do here and there. And I mean, I don't want to go anywhere else. I mean, I love being here. I love this state. I love this region. I love the people. I love our church. And really, it's a good ministry because I agree, you don't have to fight those kinds of battles. You know, when someone comes in the door, a lot of times they're coming with very, very little or nothing at all. And you have the blessing of being able to instruct them in the way of sound doctrine for the very first time. And so I'm tremendously thankful for that. And I think it's a great kindness of the Lord that he had me born here. I mean, it's in his providence that I was born and raised here. So I think for a lot of times when I lament the region, when I talk about how spiritually barren it is, the reason I do that is because I want to wave a flag. I mean, I don't make any bones about that. I want to wave a banner to let people know we still need ministers, we need church planters, we need revitalization, we need ministers to come here and preach the gospel and minister the word, and they need to come here and prepare to die here and be here for 30 or 40 years. So whenever I talk about the need, it's because of that. I want to try to see, as much as I can be of influence, people come here to do ministry. But in terms of being here, I love it. It's a great ministry, and it's fresh. You're not bumping into anything that's old. I mean, like I said, for some people, they've literally never heard the gospel before. It feels like an unreached people group, and so as much as it is hard and challenging and sometimes frustrating, it's also wonderful and exciting. So I'm very excited and thankful to be in New England.
We have to go to our first station break. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question for Pastor Nate Pickowitz, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, on the theme, Small Town Ministry in the Liberal Mission Field of New England. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I am Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on,
yeah.
Tons of great speakers, and no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. See you there.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with a little less than 90 minutes to go is Nate Pickowitz, who is pastor of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire. He's an author, and we are discussing the theme Small Town Ministry in the Liberal Mission Field of New England. If you would like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who has a question for you, Pastor Nate. He said, I'm assuming that this great need for pastors and church plants and evangelists is well known throughout the evangelical community in the United States. Why is it that more churches and even mission organizations are not sending men of God to plant churches and to evangelize in the area in which you live, since it is such a barren wasteland theologically and spiritually?
Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. It's a challenging thing because as soon as you say there's a need, you have to assess how to meet it. And so I think there's a lot of complex issues surrounding that. I think, for one, when you're talking about revitalization, for example, there are churches up here who are looking for a solid pastor, but I don't know as if they're ready to receive a pastor who's going to minister the Word of God. I think you have a lot of historic churches, a lot of older churches, and, I mean, frankly, the Unitarian church has taken over quite a few of these older churches. A lot of the mainline denominations have taken over, and so they've sort of hijacked the buildings and the ministries, and so revitalization is very challenging, and so the opportunities for people to come into this ministry are difficult as well. So, you know, a lot of folks, I mean, let's just talk about it practically. You know, say you're a young pastor, you get out of seminary, maybe you're newly married, maybe you have a small child. You know, if you're going to go pack up everything you have and move from California or Missouri or whatever and go to New England, you want to know that there's something there waiting for you, and I understand the need for that, to walk into a ministry knowing that you'll be taken care of and that you can minister and, you know, have enough money to buy a house or whatever it's going to be. So I get that, and I think that's a harder thing to do. And so I don't know if there's as many opportunities for churches looking to be revitalized. I think that's a very challenging thing. The other option for people that are coming in is church planting. And church planting, that's also challenging because there are obstacles of people, there's obstacles of money, and I think, you know, some agencies are sending and planting churches. The North American Mission Board is planting like crazy up here. The EFCA is planting like crazy. I mean, a lot of church plants. I read one statistic from the NAMB that said that 35% of all the churches in New England have been planted in the last 7 years. And I believe that. I've seen a huge influx of church planting happening even since I've been in ministry. So we are seeing it, but the challenge is that, okay, we're still not even outpacing the population growth right now. So it's just not as simple as, well, there's a need, let's just go meet it. You have to figure out how to do it. For me to do it, again, I mean, I was born and raised in this town. Our financial needs were a lot lesser because we already had, I was working at the time. We had a young family. Our income needs were smaller. I knew the area. We had a sending church that was sending us. We had a sending organization that was sending us. So, I mean, the Lord really lined up the opportunity pretty well for us to come. But again, I'm local. For people to come from outside, it is going to be challenging, but it's not impossible. So, like any problem, there is a complex solution, but it's a very challenging thing.
We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, I do not know if you prefer expository preaching over topical, but I was wondering if there is any difference in emphasis, knowing of the background of the geography from where you are pastoring, than a pastor in another part of the United States might have in the way he might deliver a sermon on the same text that you are delivering.
So that I'm very tempted to respond in one fashion, but I'm going to try to respond in a different fashion, only because my focus is on expository preaching, and I bang that drum pretty hard. And I've gotten some criticism from folks, especially in this area, because I'm so dogmatic about the need for expository preaching. But I think it's probably the most important thing that a minister can do in a ministry, and certainly in this ministry up here. As a pastor who wants to make friends with other pastors and other churches, I really do value other ministers who are focused and other churches who are focused on expository preaching. And the reason is because even though there is a place and a value for topical preaching, and when I say topical preaching, I just mean preaching on a specific topic that shows up in Scripture or a certain theme or a certain idea, as long as that's done exegetically, in other words, as long as the topic itself finds its basis in Scripture and not from the pastor's own preferences or political views or social awareness or whatever, if the topic itself comes from Scripture, it can be really helpful. And there are some good ways to use topical preaching in a ministry. However, when you're looking at a long-term approach to ministry, when you're looking at feeding the flock, as Jesus tells us to do in the Scriptures, when you're looking at feeding a people for a long period of time, you cannot grow a ministry and you cannot grow people through topical preaching. It's like feeding them spiritual junk food all the time. You have to give them more than that. And we've already noticed a difference even at our church, where people who are here, maybe they don't remember every single sermon, I don't expect them to, but we're covering a lot of ground and we're covering material that we wouldn't have otherwise covered had I been the one to pick everything out on my own. And so we've just seen a breadth and a depth of the understanding and the spiritual earnestness and the growth of the people. They have more tools with how to approach their understanding of their own sanctification, their own Christian growth, their marriages, their lives, their families, their issues of sin. You're just going to equip a church much better, and I believe more faithfully, if you are committed to the regular exposition of the Scriptures. Again, I do use topical preaching once in a while if I want to hit a certain point, but the regular diet of the people at our church is the consistent exposition of the Scriptures verse by verse. And so I'm very strong on that point. Not everybody appreciates my dogmatism about that, but that's what I'm committed to doing.
And for the listener who is unfamiliar with those distinctions, expository preaching is where you would be going through long sections of the Bible, perhaps a book of Romans or something, and every Sunday you are exegetically going verse by verse through those chapters and through those books, rather than every week something different, like we're going to talk about lust this week, and next week we're going to talk about bigotry and so on. You're going through the text of Scripture and taking the lead from the God-breathed words that are found there as to what kind of topic would be formed out of that.
Yeah, and I think to just put a finer point on that as well, I agree with everything you just said. The issue also goes back to authority. Authority is a huge part of it, because if I'm just relying on my own ability to discern the needs of our church, I mean, I know them, but I don't know them the way the Lord knows them. So for me to try to assume I know what's best for them on a week-to-week basis, frankly, is arrogant. I'm going to give them the Word of God, and so I want to make sure that whatever I'm preaching on finds its origin in the text of Scripture. So again, like I said about topical preaching, let's just say I want to talk about, you know, financial giving, and I want to have a sermon, you know, that's going to talk about that. Well, I'm going to structure that around Second Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, because that's what those sections of scripture are about, versus just pulling verses out of the air or proof texting my point. It's a very different thing when you work from the authorial intent of the Bible and what God intends versus what I want people to know and what I want to tell them. So more than just the method of preaching, there is the issue of authority, which, again, is sorely needed. I mean, people up here need the scriptures. Churches up here, you cannot take it for granted that they know the Word of God, because in a lot of cases they really don't. For people going through the Bible, this may be the first time in their entire life they've ever actually worked through the Bible. So I can't stress that enough. I think that's the one key to revival is expositional preaching.
And I'm assuming that even those churches that are most dedicated to expository preaching, something like the tragedy on September 11, 2001 occurs, when we have a terrorist attack that brought down the World Trade Center, and a plane flies into the Pentagon and another plane crashes in Pennsylvania. Even the most expository dedication might be requiring a break in the stride to shift to something that was more topically focused on something that has global significance like that.
Yeah. I mean, I frequently will stop. Frankly, just on a practical level, to just go verse by verse by verse with no break ever, you can wear people out. I mean, I think that's possible. So probably every 6 to 8 to 10 weeks, you know, I'll take a break and, you know, I'll preach something else, or I'll preach one of the Psalms or something like that, a smaller Psalm, or, you know, I might have a guest preacher come in, or, you know, you don't want to tire people out. That's for sure. And, you know, there might be events where something happens and, you know, you have to address it. I think that's really important. You know, I don't stop for, you know, Groundhog Day and every other holiday that comes up. Otherwise, you could fill your preaching calendar with 25 holidays and always be doing special messages. I just don't think that that's a way to build. I think the best way to build is to really get people invested in the scriptures and then give them a break when they need it. So, I'm not advocating to be inflexible, and I'm not advocating to be harsh on anybody, but at the same time, if you're going to deal with something like a September 11th, you need to deal with it biblically. You know, what does God think about what just happened? What are we supposed to do? What does the Bible say about how we are to think and feel? That's really important.
Yeah, and unfortunately, in the media, the response from a multitude of ministers around this nation was a very unbiblical approach. I'm not saying that, of course, all ministers were reacting unbiblically, but many, especially the ones that were highlighted in the media, were, God had nothing to do with this.
Right.
This has nothing to do with the sins of our nation. How dare anybody even think that? Or, you know, you could go on and on with...
Sure.
As if God was asleep or something when this happened, or, you know, just sat and watched and had nothing to do with, in his providence, what had occurred. So that's also a very sad thing indeed. But we have to go to our midway break right now. It's a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they, according to FCC regulations, have to localize Grace Life Radio to Lake City, Florida, and they have to air their own public service announcements and commercials and so on. So during this midway break, while they're airing their own public service announcements and commercials, while we air ours that are heard globally, please use this time wisely. Write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, because we depend on the finances that come from our advertisers in order to exist. We also depend upon the generosity and the benevolence of our very wonderful listeners who believe this show is important enough that they donate to us, sometimes even every month, sometimes twice a month. But use this time wisely to write down the information for our advertisers and patronize them as often as you can. And also write down questions for our guest, Nate Pickowitz, on small town ministry in the liberal mission field of New England. And, of course, you could broaden your question to a larger scope of questions regarding Christian theology and so on. But that's just the main theme that we are discussing, and we're hoping to get most of our questions about that. But we will permit a larger, broader scope and spectrum of questions. So the email address, again, is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Nate Pickowitz after these messages from our sponsors.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs,
MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries. Go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, you can even call Solid Ground Christian, email Solid Ground Christian Books if you do indeed want to help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio remain on the air, because they are a faithful supporter of this program. They are one of the first advertisers we ever had. They've maintained not only advertising with us every year, they have renewed their contracts over and over again, but they've actually voluntarily increased their purchase of advertising. And they are getting excellent business from you, and I thank God for that, because your business with Solid Ground Christian Books is really a big reason why we exist. Sometimes Mike Adosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, will keep me on the phone for 10 minutes just reading a list of names of new customers he has who are in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience. So I just want to thank Mike Adosh and the folks at Solid Ground Christian Books for their faithfulness, and I want to thank you, the listener, who have been patronizing them, who have been purchasing many books from them. If you haven't done that yet, I strongly urge you to do that, because, as I said, we need Solid Ground Christian Books to stick around, and they have been so very generous to us. What you could do, if you want to send them an email, even just to thank them for the wonderful blessing they have been to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you can send the email to mike.sgcb, which stands for Solid Ground Christian Books, at gmail.com. That's mike.sgcb@gmail.com. And the website again is solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. And whenever you have any kind of gift giving need coming up, there's a lot of events coming up in the summer, whether they be wedding anniversaries or you're getting ready to send off your older children who are going off to college. You want to give them books that will be used of God to lead them to eternal life if they are not yet saved, or to edify them and further equip them to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within them if they are Christians, and either even help them to face all of the Christ-hating people out there in this world that they will no doubt encounter when they go away. Well, solid-ground-books.com is the place to go for all your gift-giving needs, in addition to your own edification and the building of a solid biblical library. Always remember to tell Mike Gadosh and the folks at Solid Ground Christian Books that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, we have to just make a couple of announcements before we return to our guest, Nate Pickowitz. Nate will be returning, and he's got a story I'm looking forward to hearing him tell about his hometown. But before we go back to our discussion, there's a couple of events coming up that I want you to be aware of, events that I hope that as many of you as possible will attend. First of all, we have the conference that we mentioned in the beginning of this show, the Fellowship Conference New England. That's being held August 1st through the 3rd, and that is being held at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. And the speakers at this conference include our guest today, Nate Pickowitz. In addition, Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, who is also Paul Washer's pastor. Pastor Lee Dodd, who's going to be my guest again on Wednesday, the 31st of July. Really wonderful brother. And Pastor Mac Tomlinson, who is the main individual involved at spearheading this conference, the Fellowship Conference New England. He is pastor of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. If you would like to attend this conference, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. That is August 1st through the 3rd. That's a Thursday and Friday and a Saturday coming up too far from now. We have another conference that overlaps that one a bit, but it's in a different part of the country, a completely different part of the country. We're talking about the Providence Theological Institute Conference at the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, featuring my dear friend, Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary. This is no doubt going to be an excellent event. I've seen and heard Dr. Costa speak many, many times, especially since I have also used him as a speaker, as a keynote speaker at a number of events, debates, conferences, and so on. And I'm never bored of Dr. Tony Costa. I'm always on the edge of my seat, and I'm sure you will be too. Some of the topics he'll be speaking on are the meaninglessness of life without God, the authority and inerrancy of Scripture, the promised land and the new covenant, the glorious new covenant, and more. And that is August 2nd through the 4th. That is Friday through Sunday. And if you live near Hockley, Texas, or can take a plane, train, or automobile to get there, this is at the Church at Friendship, as I said. And the website that has all the details is churchatfriendship.org, churchatfriendship.org, and then click events at the top of the page. Then, in December, Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, I am going to be packing up my bags and heading back to my old stomping grounds, New York City, for the Foundations Conference, being held again in the heart of Manhattan during the Christmas season. And what better time of year to go to Manhattan than during the Christmas season? I can't wait. That's Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th. And the speakers at this event are phenomenal, as they always are. Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, the founder of One Passion Ministries, is on the roster. Paul Washer is on the roster. Reverend Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomasian, who I keep telling you, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that I think Reverend Armin Tomasian is going to be a household name amongst Reformed Christians over the next decade. He is that powerful and gifted. He's a young man, a young pastor, but with gifts and abilities and wisdom far beyond his age. I just look forward to every moment that I have, every occasion in Providence that I have to hear Reverend Armin Tomasian preach. Richard Caldwell Jr. and Andrew Quigley are also on the roster. I've not yet heard these brothers preach, but since Sermon Audio selected them, I am very confident they are phenomenal. If you'd like to join me Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, at the Foundations Conference in New York City, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com, and it is a conference for men in ministry leadership, so I hope to see you there if you are in that category. Then in January, I'm packing up my bags again and heading down south to Atlanta, Georgia, to the Georgia International Convention Center, technically in College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta, for the G3 Conference 2020. That's Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th. The G3 stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And the speakers are extraordinary, as they always are at this event as well. One of the largest lineup of speakers I've ever seen at any conference. Kosti Hinn, who, believe it or not, is the nephew of the notorious false teacher, Benny Hinn. Kosti, on the other hand, is a really gifted, biblically faithful, scripturally dedicated, doctrinally sound pastor. He's a Reformed Baptist pastor and a cessationist in California, and spends a lot of his ministry outside of his own pulpit, that is, exposing his own uncle and those that affiliate with him in the Word of Faith movement for being the deceptive, dangerous, deadly, and damning deceivers that they really are. He's on the lineup. Daryl Bernard Harrison, who is a new addition to the team at Grace to You Ministries, the ministry of John MacArthur. David Miller, a really phenomenal old-school preacher. Derek Thomas, who is a name that is definitely familiar to the vast majority of Reformed Christians. My friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries is on the roster. Joel Beakey, president of the Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, who I've also known going back to the 90s and had the privilege of having called him a friend all these years. Again, we have at this conference Paul Washer and Stephen J. Lawson. Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You Ministries, the Ministry of John MacArthur. Stephen J. Nichols, the President of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio. Tom Askell, Executive Director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention. Vody Baucom, extraordinary, powerful speaker and teacher and preacher. That you've got to hear and see if you've never been at a Vody Baucom event. And this January, for the first time ever at G3, John MacArthur himself is on the roster. And I am so excited about that because in all my years of being a Christian since the 1980s, I've never been in the same room with John MacArthur. I've never been in the presence of his preaching and teaching live there in the same building. So I am so looking forward to that. If you want to join me January 16th through the 18th at the G3 Conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And, oh, by the way, the theme is Worship Matters, obviously a very vital theme and a very controversial theme in the 21st century, unfortunately. So many battles amongst evangelicals amongst themselves about worship. And so if you'd like to join me, go to g3conference.com. Also, I strongly urge you, if you have a parachurch ministry like I have, this Iron Sharpens Iron radio program, if you have some kind of a parachurch organization or a business or a special event or even a church that you want to promote to the body of Christ, this is an ideal place to set up an exhibitor's booth because there's over 5,000 people that attend this every year. And with John MacArthur there this January, I think they're going to have over 6,000. I can't guarantee that, but I am very confident they're going to have over 6,000 people there. If you want to join me at the G3 Conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and I would suggest, as I said, that you not only register to attend, but register for an exhibitor's booth before they run out of room if an exhibitor's booth applies to you and what you do in regard to ministry or business. And last but not least, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, you love referring people to this program and sharing the free downloadable MP3s. You love the topics and the guests that we feature that are very rarely heard anywhere else. Sometimes they're never heard anywhere else. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And then you could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. You could also send in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Remember, never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of Holy Scripture. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of Scripture. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and home, you have extra money for benevolent purposes, you have extra money for recreational purposes, you have extra money that's lying around collecting interest, well, please, if you love the show and you don't want it to go away, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I thank all of you who are already doing that. Some of you even more than one time a month. I really thank you in more ways that I could describe in the English language. Thank you so much. Those of you who listen regularly and you haven't done that yet and you do have the means to do it, please, I'm urging you to help us to stay around, help us to stay on the air if indeed you love the show. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. And by the way, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God, please rectify that situation. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put in the subject line something like, I need a church home. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I've already helped a number of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners find churches not only that they have joined personally, but churches that they are looking for family, friends, and loved ones, and also churches they're looking for when they're going on vacation. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, and I will do my best to help you find a church near where you are living or near where you are vacationing or near where your loved ones live. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put, I need a church home. Also, if you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, send in an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, because we certainly do urgently need your advertising dollars. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to our guest, Nate Pickowitz, the pastor of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire. And we are discussing small-town ministry in the liberal mission field of New England. And Pastor Nate, if you would, you were going to tell a story about your hometown.
Sure. It's good to be back on here. Just something we were talking about off the air there. When I was coming back to this hometown and planting a church, I wasn't sure what I was planting into. And so I never knew the history of where I was. So fast forward a little bit, Dustin Benj, my good friend, came up a couple weeks ago to preach at our church and to stay with my family and I for a couple of days, and we just had a really wonderful time of fellowship. And then off the cuff, I've been showing him, you know, a couple of locations, touristy spots or whatever. So I, on a whim, drove him to a local meeting house, which is right in the heart of Gilmanton, which is my town. And it's just an old-fashioned kind of Puritan-style meeting house. And so we get there, and we're walking around, and we've talked to somebody who brings us over to a tombstone. And he says to us, do you want to see the grave of the first pastor in Gilmanton? And I'm like, that's fine. Great. Sounds good. We go over, and Dustin begins to read the top of this gravestone. I just want to read it for your listeners here. The top of the gravestone is for Pastor Isaac Smith. Isaac Smith, he was born in 1744, died in 1817. He was the first pastor ever of any church in Gilmanton, New Hampshire. It says, as a husband and a husband and parent, he was affectionate. He held strictly to the doctrines of grace. He was indefatigable in his exertions to promote the spiritual interest of his people, was a solemn and searching preacher, and exemplified the truths of the gospel in his life and death. So Dustin's reading the top of this tombstone, and he says, who in the world is this? Because I don't know, you know, what our history is in our town. So Dustin and I, we both go home, we both get on our laptops, we spend the next 6 hours digging through archives and files and everything, and come to find out, this is in the early 1800s, Isaac Smith, who was pastor of the church in Gilmanton, New Hampshire, was one of the five most notable preachers of the day. I'd never heard of him before. Was a Princeton graduate, was studying under the spiritual descendants of Jonathan Edwards, Eliezer Wheelock, and so on and so forth, and was instrumental in bringing so much of that doctrinal preaching, biblical preaching, Reformed theology to this town. They also, after he he founded an academy, a training academy, and after he died 20 years later, there was a revival, and they founded a seminary right in my hometown. It was this right in the middle of the boondocks, in the middle of wilderness. They had a seminary that was specifically set up to train farm boys on how to preach so they could go out and pastor churches in rural towns. So I couldn't believe this. It was like I'm Nick Cage from National Treasure. We're digging all this stuff. My goodness, it was fantastic. So in about a month or so, I'm scheduled to preach at a local church in the area. There's a kind of a historical church that has a function every year, a summer series. So I'm going to present a sort of a biographical sermon or lecture on the Reverend Isaac Smith and talk about his life, but also I found some of his old sermons, and so I'm going to be preaching the gospel from his old sermons that are written in the style of Jonathan Edwards. I mean, they're just beautiful. So it's been exciting for me just to rediscover that, you know, there were faithful ministers in Gilmanton. There was a faithful heritage. There was a theological seminary. I talked to people in town. They'd never even heard of that before. Didn't even know that there was a Gilmanton Theological Seminary. So it's just really amazing that God does preserve a remnant. And just kind of like Josiah, we have to go digging around and find these things and bring them out and pray that God would use them. So really just encouraged. And this has only been about the last 3 or 4 weeks that I've been really excited about this again. And so it's kind of put a new spring in my step and really a different spin on the ministry altogether. So I just wanted to share that. It's just, you never know. I would say if you're a pastor, if you're a churchgoer, go digging around your church's attic, you know, try to find old documents, old statements of faith, old sermons, journals, whatever. You just never know what kind of witness your church has had if it's an older one. You just don't know what God has done, and it's just exciting to see his faithfulness through the generations.
Of course, that can backfire on you. I have a friend. I'm not making this up. I have a friend who was a deacon at a Baptist church in eastern Suffolk County, Long Island. Keep in mind, eastern Suffolk County, Long Island. And he was digging through the church attic. They were cleaning out the church attic and throwing stuff away. And he found the what do they call those notes at a meeting? Just flew out of my head. I'm getting senility at an early age.
Yeah, right. But like meeting notes.
But anyway, in the early 1900s, this church was on the verge of a split over the issue of whether or not you could be a member of the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, my word. Well, obviously, yeah, we have to repudiate that. That's horrific. That's terrible. But there are some churches. I mean, you know, you go digging around and you never... I mean, I've heard of that where churches have dug around in the attic and they find, you know, buried in their archives the New Hampshire Baptist Confession or the Westminster, and they start reading it and say, what is this? And, you know, I've actually heard of churches who've gone and adopted old confessions because they find them and they've lost their way, and so they go back to the founders. I mean, that's happened in many, many churches. So, it's just exciting to see, again, the faithfulness of God that sometimes, especially as a church planter, I mean, you feel like you're on uncharted territory. You just don't even know what's been here before. And so it's neat to see that God still has his remnant. He always has. We're doing nothing brand new. We're just trying to carry the torch from who handed it to us. And so just encouragement for those who might be feeling like they're alone.
We have, let's see here. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who has a question. She says, in the scriptures, Jesus had a different approach when he was facing false religious leaders than he did with your run-of-the-mill sinner that might even be involved in scandalous sin, sexual sin, and other kinds of sins like that. But he seemed to be always much more righteously indignant and angry and forceful with his words than he was with those who were prostitutes and other kinds of sinners. Do you think that churches and pastors and Christian individuals, therefore, should be taking different approaches, possibly depending upon where they are located? You might be more righteously indignant on a regular basis with those in the Bible Belt who are deceived into thinking that they are Christians, but are truly as lost can be, you might be taking a different approach there than you would, such as in New England, where most of the people are totally foreign to Christianity, are pagans, were not raised in any kind of a biblical faith, and yet are people who are in great need of a savior nonetheless. Would this difference of approach make any sense to you?
Yeah, that's a long question. Just for the sake of to be clear, I try to save my righteous indignation for, you know, times of sparse use if I can, but I think the point of the question is a good one. I think that in ministry in general, no matter where you are, whether you're in the Bible Belt, whether you're in New England, whether you're around the world, I think you have to be prepared to get a little bit dirty. And what I mean by that is that when you have people that are walking into your church, especially if they're an unchurched person, or, you know, maybe they just don't know all of the cultural rules of what your church is, they're going to bring all kinds of things to the table. I mean, when people were coming to Jesus, they were coming out of paganism. When he meets the woman at the well in John 4, I mean, she wasn't prepared to meet the Lord in the middle of the day. I mean, she wasn't prepared for that at all. And she had had six men in her life, you know, at some point in time. So, he wasn't going to sit there and blast her and berate her when she didn't even know which end was up. I mean, he dealt with her kindly but told her that what she was doing was wrong, and the same thing in also other places. So, you know, we have people who come in, and they're, you know, rough around the edges sometimes, and, you know, they don't know the cultural cues and rules and whatever it may be, and we need to be gracious. I think there's a huge difference between being honest, speaking the truth in love, and then just berating people because they don't fit in. I have a friend of mine who was got saved when he was a teenager, and didn't know what to do, so he went to a local Bible church, and he walked in with a leather jacket and a mohawk, and he didn't know what was going on, and, you know, he struggled to fit in, but he just wanted to hear the Bible being taught. I mean, those kinds of people, we should be running to try to meet with those people, and, you know, every now and then, I mean, someone will drop a swear word, or maybe they, you know, they smell like they were out drinking the night before. I mean, there's a way to approach people and be honest, but at the same time, be charitable and be loving. And I think you have to look for the right opportunities. And I think that there are times, especially when in a liberal context, when people don't want to make any waves at all, we hear a lot of love, 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 not a whole lot of truth where I am. We don't call out anything. But then there's other contexts where that's all people do is call out sins. And I think you have to be really careful, be discerning, be wise, be shrewd, and ask the Lord to give you wisdom on when to say and when to speak. So I think its situation is different no matter where you go, but I think we have to be willing to bear with people, especially if they don't know the Lord or they're just coming to the faith. You can't blast people if they don't even know what righteousness is, you know. But I think that there's a time and a place. I don't know if that's helpful or not. There's so many caveats to how that could go. But I just think it's we have to be very careful with how we approach some of these things.
Yes, amen. And I think I'm assuming the heart of a lot of what she was saying, at least when she was referring to the Bible Belt part, not that that would be the only place in the country or the world where this would be applicable, but it is very dangerous to let professing Christians be at ease and to coast through life thinking that they have eternal life when they really don't.
Yes.
And that may be something that, unfortunately, many churches, many pastors, many elder boards are too fearful of rattling the cage of professing Christians because they don't want to lose the collection plate to be thinned out. You know?
Right. No, ministry, you know, it's messy and it can be really hard because there's so many things you have to navigate, and it's hard to give a blanket answer for every situation because every situation is going to be different, you know, and we just need to have wisdom and use our minds and use good judgment when we're approaching some of these things.
And what encouraging things can you tell us about what you are seeing in regard to the faith in that area of New England that you are in. We've heard some of the negative things that exist there. Tell us about some of the things that give you a lot of hope. Maybe you're even getting optimistic about a true revival again occurring by the grace and mercy of God in that area. Anything that you could tell us about the positive things you see happen?
Yeah, there are tons of things that are going on right now that give me cause for great encouragement. In the last even 5 years or so, there seems to be a renewal of preaching. There's really two wagons I want to hitch myself to, and that's expository preaching and sound doctrine. And when I say sound doctrine, I'm really talking about Reformed theology. But when I talk to people who are doing those things, there just seems to be a resurgence of pastors and of churches that are focusing on those things. Churches that are in my area, churches in Maine, there's something going on in the state of Maine right now. It's really exciting. There are more conferences going on, more Bible preaching, more churches that are being rescued away from liberal denominations and rescued away from just wayward teaching. And so I've made a lot of friends, pastor friends, in the last couple of years, men that I really love and really care about, and it just seems like there's multiplication of this happening. It seems like every month I'm getting an email or a phone call from a pastor somewhere in New England, and I go on their website, I check out their statement of faith, I listen to a sermon or two, and just really exciting. So as much as that we still need help, God is bringing the help. He's bringing laborers, and there are churches that are turning over a new leaf. And the things I was describing earlier, I mean, I heard about a church in southern New Hampshire even recently that lost their pastor, didn't know which way to go, and the membership just grabbed a Bible, opened it up, and said, we want someone who can teach us this Bible. And they went on a journey, a pastoral journey, to find themselves a Bible teacher explicitly. So there are churches that are doing that. So God has a remnant for sure, but there's a lot going on with biblical preaching, focus on sound doctrine, and focus on gospel ministry. I'm going to be 40 next week. I've lived here my entire life, and I've never seen what I've seen the last 3 to 5 years. And so it keeps me encouraged. I'm excited for the next few years and just see what the Lord does.
In fact, that reminds me, I'd like to have our listeners pray for a friend who is actually experiencing something nearly identical to what you just said, and perhaps it is identical, not that the outcome is exactly the same, but I know a man, I'm not going to mention his name because of the personal nature of the situation, but he is a pastor, an evangelical, Bible-believing, Reformed pastor who was called to a church within a notoriously very liberal denomination, and the folks there were totally sick and tired of the rapidly leftist direction that this denomination is racing to, has already landed in, but is even racing further and further to the left. And a lot of the people are older people, and they wanted somebody who is going to be back to the Bible kind of a guy. And they called this man. He is their pastor. He was used successfully by God to lead this congregation out of that denomination. But, unfortunately, there is such a thing as people who are morally and socially conservative, but they're not necessarily born again.
Right.
And he was actually having a hard time from some of the congregants who were furious with him, because he did not allow into membership a heterosexual couple that was living together without being married. So, you know, it would have been fine with them for him to ban the homosexual couple, but as far as the heterosexual couple, no. You got to let them in. They're nice people. So please pray for this brother. He's going through some interesting challenges.
Mm. Yeah, very. That's important. And it's unfortunately, you know, and I've seen this up here, even just in my limited exposure to ministry here, that, you know, a lot of churches, they want revival, they want revitalization, but they don't want to necessarily pay for it. And what I mean by pay for it is submit themselves to biblical teaching and submit themselves to changes and things that are out of their preference. You know, I think it's if you say that you want God to move and God to work, well, judgment begins at the household of God. I mean, he's going to clean house at your church. He's going to clean house in your heart. And he's going to take some of the things that you are taking for granted, and he's going to subject them to his discipline. So, you know, I think we have to be careful when we think about what we're praying for, and it is a revival of sanctification and holiness in the church, for sure. So, yeah, I will. I might even connect with you offline and just see if maybe I know this brother and can pray for him specifically, but it's definitely needed, for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. In fact, he would probably love it if you were to contact him.
Sure, excellent.
Just to give him some encouragement. Let's see here. We have somebody that has a question, and I'll ask it, and then I'll have you answer it when we come back from our final break. We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, in your area, I'm assuming that a lot of churches are the mainline Congregationalist churches that once were Puritan-filled and now are filled with apostates and liberals. Have you ever heard of the denomination called the Four C's, CCCC, that many who have become Bible-believing Christians who are former pastors in the liberal Congregationalist churches have joined into the Four C's because of its Bible-believing stance? So we'll have you answer that when we come back. And I am familiar with that denomination. I have a friend actually in Manhattan who is the pastor of the New Village Congregationalist Church, which is a conservative, reformed congregation that has adopted the Savoy Declaration. But that's the Conservative Congregational Christian Conference. That's the Four C's. But we'll have you answer that when we get back. This is our final break. If you want to join us, the email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics in Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merritt, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Basolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Venue of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB, and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which is almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, g3conference.com, g3conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. See you there.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi 39443. or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, that's Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and this is our final segment of today's interview with Nate Pickowitz. If you have a question, you better send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com is the email address. Pastor Nate, if you could summarize in about 3 minutes what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about our subject.
Yeah, I think one of the big things is that there's hope. You know, God is always on the move. He's always working. And so no matter what ministry you're in, if you feel like you're stuck in a challenging ministry, if it seems like all the winds are against you, stand firm and be strong, whether you're a pastor or a church leader or a congregant, a member of your church, you know, stand strong because the Lord is working. He can work in the most difficult areas of any part of the world. I'm encouraged by what's happening, for example, in Ireland that's even more post-Christian than America. God is doing a work there, and it's just astounding. The question was asked earlier about churches going from more liberal denominations.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. The four C's.
That's all right. Yeah. Yeah, no, just very quickly about that. I mean, I have heard about churches doing that. You know, there's a huge takeover of the Congregationalist movement back in the 1820s, but, you know, churches are finding that's untenable. You know, Unitarianism is untenable, and a lot of the positions are not biblical, and churches are starting to reject that and find denominations like those conservative groups. And so I have seen some of that. It is encouraging, and again, I really do think that that the Lord is consistently moving, and He promises in Matthew chapter 16 that He will build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we have to stand on that, trust that, and be faithful as we can, and just trust Him that He will do His work. And so I'm encouraged to see that happening in New England. I'm blessed to know it's happening in other parts of the country as well. So the Lord is faithful.
Yes, and I don't know if you're familiar with the exact denomination he was referring to, but that's the Four C's group, mainly made up of people formerly in the United Church of Christ who left there because of the apostasy and leftist leaning, not even leaning. They've jumped over any fence that would be leaning.
Yeah,
totally into the leftist apostasy.
Yeah. I don't know a bunch about it, but I do know of them, and I know churches who've gone that route, and it seems to be working out well. So I can't really comment beyond that just because I don't know the details of it, but I've heard it's very good.
Yes, and if anybody wants more information about that denomination, our listener sent in the email. It's cccusa.com, cccusa.com. And my friend Pastor Kirk, who pastors in Greenwich Village at a church in that denomination, Kirk Vanderswag, his website is ncgvnyc.com, ncgv as in village, nyc.com. Well, I want to thank you so much, Pastor Nate Pickowitz. I want to make sure you also give your contact information. I know that your church website is Harvest Bible. Wow, I need glasses.
Well, hang on, before you go too far, we've actually got a different website. We've made it a lot easier. I'll give the contact info. Here we go. Ready? So our church's website is hbc-nh.org. So HBC, like Harvest Bible Church, -nh, New Hampshire, .org. HBC-nh.org. They can find me. I have a public Facebook page. I don't really use it privately anymore. I just have a public one. I'm on Twitter quite a bit. My Twitter handle is at Nate Pickowitz, and you can follow me there as well. But and my books are available on Amazon. My articles are available here and there wherever I write. So there's people who want to get a hold of me, they can find me pretty easily.
And the conference, don't forget, it's August 1st through the 3rd at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. That's where our guest will be one of a number of speakers, one of four speakers, I believe. That's the Fellowship Conference New England. If you want to attend that August 1st through the 3rd, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. Don't forget, tomorrow, my guest is Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.